Well, hello, folks. Thanks for connecting with us through this message. I would encourage you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's where we're going to be going today as we're continuing on in our series in Thessalonians. When Kath and I go geocaching or just go for a hike, it is like going on a mini journey. We usually make sure that we have what we need for the journey. We are never really sure how long we are going to go out for, so we always take a pack with us. And in the pack, there is food, always food, and water. We might have trail mix, dried fruit, cheese, some wasa bread. They're always good for the hike. And there is never a shortage of those snacks in our pack. The food and water gives us strength for the journey we are on, whether it's just for a couple of kilometers or whether we're going on a longer hike, which may be 10 kilometers or more, we always have food. In fact, we probably have enough food to go a long way because we always bring food back with us as well. Without the food and water, we could become weak on the journey. And we might even have a real struggle trying to finish the journey because we've lost our strength. Our walk as Christians is like a journey. We need to continually be strengthened for that journey of faith each day. Sometimes it can be challenging, and we just need something to draw strength from. We have looked at First Thessalonians, and we've noticed that Paul's on a journey, and so are the Thessalonians on their Christian journey. And their journey hasn't been really smooth or easy going. They need to strengthen themselves as they travel on this Christian journey set before them. As we continue on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 20, we discover three things which they could draw strength from for their journey. We will start with verse 13, where Paul wrote, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." The first thing we see that the Thessalonians had was the word of God. They had heard it from Paul, and we know what they heard from Paul because we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, that Paul declared the gospel to them. And he confirms that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, where Paul reminds the Thessalonians how they were shared the gospel of God with them. The Thessalonians didn't just have some nice sayings, some encouraging words for their journey of faith. They had the gospel of God, which was shared with them through power, through the Holy Spirit. Paul states that the Thessalonians had the word of God, which is at work within them because they believed. They believed it. It wasn't just something stagnant in their lives. It was working within them. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 4, 12 proclaims, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The word of God is living, active, sharp, piercing, and discerning. The word of God exposes our innermost thoughts and intentions, It sees our motives in each one of our lives as Christians when we read it. I think we would all have to say that we have read the Bible and felt the words pierce our hearts with an undeniable conviction. You know, maybe I've been gossiping about somebody, or I've been unkind to my neighbor, and I've read the Word of God, and all of a sudden it just pierces deep inside my heart and says, Scott, you are wrong. It says to love one another. We've all felt that, that Word of God piercing our heart. We've also felt the Word of God, which gives us much needed direction. In fact, this past week, I was talking with somebody who's going through a situation, and they were really looking for direction in their lives, and they sort of had a direction they thought they should go, and they phoned me and said that they were just doing their devotion, and they read in the Bible the exact confirmation they needed in the direction they were to go. And then there's also those times when we read the Bible and we feel those words that are so encouraging. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so comforting. Words which speak to our hearts. The Word of God is working in us as we believe. It penetrates the deepest recesses of our hearts. There is no doubt it is living and active. In writing about the Word of God, Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 55:11, my word goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word, the Bible, accomplishes what it is meant to do in our lives. It is at work in us as we believe. The Word of God strengthens us for our daily journey. I'd like to take a moment and just have us ponder three questions about the Word of God. First of all, do we appreciate the Word of God? What I'm asking is, do we really appreciate the Word of God for what it is and where it comes from? We just have to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Many of you would know this scripture. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All of the Bible, not just parts, and not just most of it, not even just 99% of it, but all, 100% of the Bible is the Word of God. It is not the words of men. Paul said, you accepted the Word of God. You did not accept it as the word of men, but actually what it is, the Word of God. It is written down by men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit what to write. It is not just a big book with lots of nice and interesting stories. Every word comes from the King of Kings, the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, the All-Powerful One, from the One who knows all things from the beginning to the end. It is God's Word written down. What a blessing that God would give us His Word. He inspired it from Genesis to Revelation so it would equip and strengthen us to do His work. It is His divine inspiration for each one of us. Do we really appreciate the Word of God? I mean, how can we not? If we really appreciate it, do we absorb the Word of God into our lives? Paul states that the Thessalonians accepted the Word of God. They took it into their hearts as something that was true. The Greek word here for accepted is more than just thanks, that was nice. It is believing it is true and allowing every part, every morsel, every little bit of it to penetrate the depths of our heart. The picture I get is that of a sponge. If you just place a sponge on top of the water and then quickly take it out, it will have soaked up some of the water. But if you take that sponge and you put it in the water and leave it in the water, it will eventually soak up lots of water. And in fact, if you take that sponge and squeeze it and push it in the water, it will become completely saturated as the water surrounds it, and it'll become saturated with the water. It becomes immersed. Do we absorb the Bible like the sponge absorbs the water? Have we really accepted the Bible? Do we immerse ourselves in the Bible so it will just penetrate deep into our hearts? Now, the third question is, do we apply the Word of God to our lives on a daily basis? Paul said the Word of God is at work in you who believe. Believing is an action. It's more than just allowing the Word of God, the Bible, to saturate us. It's taking all that it has soaked in and putting it into action. And isn't that what James states in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all what he does. Who is deceived when we just soak up the Word of God, let it saturate ourselves, but don't put it into action? James says we are deceiving ourselves. Are we not deceived if the Bible convicts us of our sin and we don't do anything about it? We don't change. We don't repent. Are we not deceived if the Bible gives us direction for our lives, and it's clear and right, and then we don't follow it? It's us who are deceived, not others. If I am trying to repair my car, and I read the manual because I'm not sure what to do, so I read the manual, and then I read it again, and I read it again. In fact, I even memorize the manual. But I never apply what I've learned to repairing my car. The car will never be repaired. All I've acquired is a lot of head knowledge, but it has not changed the condition of my car. James tells us that as we apply what we have heard from the Bible to our lives, we will be blessed. We are blessed. Why? Because the Word of God, the Bible, brings transformation to our lives. It's that action that brings transformation to our lives. My life has been transformed through putting the Bible into action. I'm sure if you talk to Kathy, she would tell you that I'm not the same father or husband I was before I started reading the Bible. The Bible has transformed me to be a better father and a better husband. I don't handle my finances the same way I used to because the Bible has revealed that I need to be a good steward of my money. I need to invest in the kingdom of God and not just into my own wants. The Word of God, the Bible, gives us strength for the journey on of our daily walk. As we appreciate it, as we accept it, as we put it into action, we are strengthened. The Word of God gives us the strength for the journey. But so does knowing that we're not alone in the journey. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, "For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same way those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displeased God and are hostile to all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last." Paul knows that the Thessalonians are being persecuted by those around them. But he wants them to know is that they're not alone in their struggles. He tells them that the Jewish Christians are also being persecuted in Judea and around by other Jews. In fact, these Jews are causing trouble for everyone. Even Paul, we're not alone in our persecution. And I would also add, in any struggle, we all go through struggles. Yet at times, we feel like we're alone. I mean, if we were honest, we would have to say we feel like we are the only ones that are really going through this persecution or this trial. It's only us. Yet, that's not true. We are all facing trials. The real truth is, many are experiencing the same things we are. This is why it's so important to stay connected. Not so we can gather together and have a pity party for the struggles we're going through, or sit and just talk about all the troubles we are going through with one another, but so we can pick one another up when we're starting to feel defeated. Two are better than one, and 10 are better than two, and 30 are better than 10. We are all on this journey of faith together, and we all go through struggles together. We need to be there together. Walk with each other. Ken Russell, our district superintendent, continually encourages us by saying, "We are better together." Every letter, every email he writes, at the bottom, it always says, "We are better together." I know I said this last week, but I want to say it again. Thanks for phoning one another. Please don't stop. In fact, increase your phoning even to those you don't phone on a regular basis. Maybe somebody you haven't phoned from the church yet. Phone them. If you need some contact numbers, give me a call. I would gladly give them to you. Thanks for doing that. When the storms come, we don't want to be alone. And we don't need to be. We don't have to be. We will find much strength in our journey in the Word of God and as we walk with the family of God. The last thing Paul mentions in Thessalonians is found in the last two verses of the chapter, verses 19 and 20. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Paul is looking forward to the glory they will experience together. There is strength for the journey when we see and know people who are saved and others who are getting saved. When we see the kingdom of God is growing and that all we're doing is not in vain. We are strengthened because we know that our journey is making a difference. It is the hope of glory, knowing that one day we will be with others worshiping in the very presence of the Father. We are strengthened when we have the hope of the future and know the ultimate victory is coming. When we know that people, our lives are being changed for the kingdom of God. What a joy. What a hope. What a strength there is there. We are on a journey of faith. If we fail to daily strengthen ourselves along the way, we will grow weak. And in fact, we might even lose all hope. We might get so discouraged we turn away because we haven't strengthened ourselves. And we just feel we can't go on. That's why it's important to strengthen ourselves daily in God's Word. We need to appreciate it. We need to absorb it. We need to accept it. We must read it on a daily basis. In the days ahead, let us also strengthen ourselves with knowing that we're not alone on this journey. We're not the only ones here. It's a time where we need to stay connected. We are better and stronger together. As we look at the big picture, we are strengthened. We see the hope of glory, the future of those worshiping the Father before his throne. We think of the scriptures in Revelation where it says that there's so many just standing and worshiping the Father. Let us be encouraged and strengthened with that. Strength for the journey is possible for each one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you don't leave us with nothing. You don't say, here's the journey and just go for it. But you've given us what we need. You've given us strength for the journey. We can draw strength from your word each and every day. We can draw strength from one another as we meet together and as we pray together, whether it's just on the phone or whether it's just a couple of people gathering together. We can do that. And we can be strengthened, Lord, as we look to the future, as we know we are more than conquerors, we are victors with you, and we're going to see that day in heaven where the throngs meet around the throne of God and rejoice and worship you for who you are. Father, may we strengthen ourselves each and every day so we can carry out the work here and now that you've called us to do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.